Okay. Here we go. Okay, Yismach Moshe. The first paragraph, which is what we're focusing on in Yismach Moshe, has several components. There's several elements. And most of the elements in that opening paragraph come directly from the section of Chumash that we refer to in that very paragraph, right? V'chein katu b'tortecha v'shamu b'nei Yisrael, etc. So if you look, we start with Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko, talk about the gift that's given to Moshe. Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko. We continue, ki evan neman karata lo, kulil tefer b'roshon atata, Bamdol fanech al har Sinai, which is a continuation of the matana. Bamdol fanech al har Sinai. Ushnei luchot avanim horibi ado. V'katu b'hem shmirat Shabbat v'chein katu b'toratach. There are basically three basic components, three basic elements in this opening paragraph. Okay, three basic elements. We have number one, the idea of I'll do it in this order because that's not the order in which appears. Number one, the idea of Shmirat Shabbat. Okay, Shmirat Shabbat. Number two, the idea of Matan Torah. And number three, the idea of
being
in Eved. Right? Idea of Avdut, being in Eved. Those are the three major components, I think it's fair to say, in this opening paragraph. The first two are Shmot Lamed Aleph. Okay? Are Shmot Lamed Aleph. If we look, just below, we have Vishamru B'nei Israel, which we directly quote. Not a trick to find this. But if we look in the continuation, right after that paragraph, that small parsha in Shmot Lamed Aleph, which goes from Pasuk Yud Bet through Pasuk Yud Zayin, the next Pasuk is Vayitein al Moshe kechaloto l'daberito b'har Sinai shnei luchot ayaidut luchot evin ketuvim be'etzba Elohim. Right? It's very clear where the idea of matnat chalkol, the idea of bamdo l'fanecha al har Sinai shnei luchot avanim harid biado, that clearly we understand why it's here. Because that's the continuation of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Tashabbat, right? That's the direct continuation. Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Tashabbat is Pasuk Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin. The next Pasuk, Pasuk Yuchet, Vayitein al Moshe, Kechalto Deberito, Bahar Sinai, Shnei Luchot Heitu, Luchot Evan Ketuvim Be'etz Be'elohim. We don't have to wonder why that's here. I'm not saying that there isn't anything deeper to it, but it's not a question why that's here. But the idea of being Eved Ne'eman, why is that here? What is that doing? Bezer Hashem, we'll see. But before we do that, there are a whole series of things that we need to observe, a number of observations we need to make, a number of points we need to clarify, and please bear with me, we're going to put a number of things on the table. They won't necessarily be significant in and of themselves. However, once we have them all in place, we can then try to see how it all fits together. So to begin with, and I know everyone worked on these sources, and it's very important that you did, because I think that you'll be able to appreciate much more what we're going to do now. If you take a look in Shmot Perek Lamed Aleph, there are two words, two elements that are very prominent in the discussion of Shabbat in Perek Lamed Aleph, in this particular discussion of Shabbat that we cite in Yismach Moshe and the Tefillah of Shacharit of Shabbat. There are two threads that run throughout and keeps on coming up again and again. There are two things that are emphasized. One, what's the first? I'm not talking about Shabbat itself. Shabbat is the context, I'm saying. But about, in this particular discussion of Shabbat, what are the two things that run through? What's number one?
Shmirah.
Okay? We see in Pasuk Yud Gimel, right? Et Shabtotai Tishmoru, in Pasuk Yud Dalu, Shmartem et HaShabbat, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vishamru B'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat. Again and again, the idea of Shmirah. And number two, alongside Shmirah, and very closely associated with it, what's the other verb that keeps on coming up?
Malacha.
What?
Malacha.
Okay, maybe Malacha, but word that I had in mind, and I'm not saying there aren't others, but is Asiya. Okay, if you take a look, in Pasuk Yudal, Kichol Ha'oseba Malacha, in Pasuk Tedvav, Shabbat Shabbaton, Korish LaShem, Kol Oseh Malacha, B'yom HaShabbat Motumat, and then again, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael in Pasuk Tetzayim. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et Hashabbat lasot et Hashabbat l'dorotam brit olam. And once again in Pasuk Yudzayin, b'ni u'vein b'nei Yisrael otil olam ki sheish yamim asa Adonai et Hashemayim et Haaretz v'yom Hashvi Shabbat v'yinafash. Right, again and again, Asiya. If you go down to the discussion of Shabbat in the Aseret Hadibrot, and we have two discussions of Shabbat in the Aseret Hadibrot. One in Shmot Perek Chaf and Yitro, and one in Dvarim Perek Hei and Bet Hanan. And I should mention that there's a bit of a question what the relationship between the two presentations of the Aseret Hadibrot is, just for quick background information. And just mention it very, very quickly. The Gemara in Baba Kama, tells a rather strange story. And I'm very bad at names, as everyone knows. So I'm going to tell the story without the names, because they're not such common names. I don't remember all the names, and I'm not going to go to the Gemara in Baba Kama right this end. But the Gemara in Baba Kama says as follows. Gemara in Baba Kama tells about one of the Chacham who goes to another and says, why is it that in the first of the Aseret Hadibra, in the first Luchot, Hashem originally gives the Luchot, so it says the mitzvah of Kabeir et Avicha ve'et Imecha without the word Tov, without L'man Yitavlach. And the second Luchot, it says L'man Yitavlach. So he said, why is it that in the first Luchot it says Tov, and the second Luchot it doesn't say Tov, right? And the Chacham Nayas answers him. He says, "Ad shatasho aleni, lama katuv bem tov." Instead of asking me instead of asking me why the first lucho don't have the word tov and the second do, ask me whether that's even true, because I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know whether or not it says tov in the second lucho. Go ask Rabbi Tanhum, because he's an expert on Agata. He'll tell you what the story is. And Mefarshim asked, what in the world does that mean? He didn't know what it said in the Aseret Hadibrot in Bet Hanan. And if he didn't know, so open a Sefer Torah and look. Why would it mean that? He said, go ask this other Chacham who's an expert on Agata. Don't ask me such a question. I don't know. And he doesn't know. So open up a Sefer Torah and look. And people struggle with this. Rav Reuven Margaliot is an incredible, incredible individual in the 20th century. Tremendous Achroni. Anyone who's learned Sanhedrin learns Margaliot Hayam, Sefer on Sanhedrin, but he wrote many, many important Svarim. Small little Svarim, short articles, really so often, right, hits the nail on the head. One of them, Hamikra Bamasora, which is a fantastic work, one of the greatest works on the history of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a tiny little pamphlet, practically, that he wrote called Yisod HaMishnah Barichata. Tremendous, tremendous work. Reuven Margaliot gives the pshat. It's a beautiful pshat. He says, of course they all knew what it said in Parashat Bet Hanan, but this person who asked the question was making an assumption. His assumption was that that Parashat Yitro reflects what it said in the first Lucha, and Parashat Bet Hanan represents what it said in the second Lucha. But that's not necessarily true. It may be true, it may not be true. One could understand that Yitro is the first luchot and Dvarim is the second luchot. One could understand that it said the same thing on both sets of luchot, which is indeed probably the pasuk pshat in the pesukim. But Vatchanan is Mishnah Torah. It's a perush on what it says. It's a paraphrase. It's not a literal quote. Whereas Yitro is a literal quote. So that's why he said, go ask for Eitan Chumash, because there's not a question of looking in Chumash. You can look all you want, you're not going to see the answer. It's a question of interpretation. It's a question of understanding. How do you understand what it says? In any case, be that as it may, we have a different presentation of the Aseret Dibrot in Yitro and in Dvarim. And if we look at it side by side, miracles in modern technology, bottom of the page, we'll see that there's a different focus in the two presentations. And the most obvious, of course, we know from Lechadodi, we know from based on the Mechilta, we have Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, and Shamor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, Kasher Tzivcha Adonai Elohecha. Okay, Zachor and Shamor. But we continue. In Shmot, the emphasis is not only on Zachor, but it's on, what are we told? We're told Al Kain, right? Al Kain in Pasuk Yud, and we're told Al Kain in Dvarim Perek He, Pasuk Yud Dalet. But the Al Kain is different. What's the Al Kain in? What's the Al Kain in? Keep track here. Al Kain in Shmot. What's the Al Kain in Shmot? What? Okay, good. So we have Al Kain. No, what's the Al Kain? Because of what? Good. It talks about Masa Bresh. Okay. In Shmochav, it talks about Al Kain. Number two, it talks about Zachor. Okay. Number three is where it doesn't say, so I can't put that up on the board yet. But we go now for a moment to Dvarim Perek Hey. And here, what is the Al Kain? Okay, Al Kain is Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay, very good. Al Kain is Yitziat Mitzrayim. And instead of Zachor, we have what?
Shamor.
Where is it? Okay, Shamor. Okay, we have Shamor. And not only do we have Shamor, but if you look at Dvarim Perek Hey, and let's look at it inside together for a moment. Shamor et Yom HaShabbat Kodesho, Kasher Tzivcha Adonai Elohecha, Sheish Yamim Tavo V'Asita Kol Melachtecha, V'Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat Adonai Elohecha, Lo Taaseh Kol Melacha, Tav V'Incha V'Itcha, V'Avdecha V'Mancha V'Shorcha V'Chomercha, V'Chol V'Mancha V'Gercha Asher B'Sharecha, L'Man Yanuch Avdecha V'Mancha Kamocha, which is an element which does not appear in Shmot. Okay? There's a good reason for that. In any case, Pasuk Yudal, Zacharta ki Eved Hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim, ve'yotzicha Adonai Elohecha misham b'yan chazaka b'zman atuya, al kein tzivcha Adonai Elohecha lasod et yom HaShabbat. What do we notice here besides the, so we have here the idea of, right? Again, Avdut, right? Both in terms of remembering that we were an Eved in Mitzrayim, but we also, what else? We also are told about Abdus in terms of Laman Yanuch Abducha, etc. Okay, which is connected to that. And I'm not going to get into too much now, but is directly connected to it. In addition, what other element should jump out at us in Dvarim Perek Hey? What thread do we find here? Yes?
Lasot,
right? Again, the Asiyah, right? Along with the Shmirah, the Asiyah. So we have the Shamor and the, right, the idea of the lasot here, okay, lasot, as well as shamor, and that is to say that this presentation of Shabbos that we have in Dvarim Perek Hey, not the one in Shmot Chav, but the one in Dvarim Hey, is very much related to what? To which other presentation? To which one?
Okay.
It's very much like Shmot Lamed Aleph, right? In other words, it's the emphasis on Shamor, it's the emphasis on Lasot, and what do we have, in terms of the Yitziat Mitzrayim in Shmot Lamed Aleph, and Shmot Lamed Aleph, we have, in place of that, something else, which is Matan Torah. Okay, we have Matan Torah. Okay. Say it.
So together with the Shema. Okay. I don't expect anyone can actually read that, but it makes me feel better. Okay, we got it? Okay, yes? Okay, the plot's thickening. Yes, we need to see where we're going here. Okay, good. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you didn't already get out of going through these sources on, whatever it was last week. However, we're going to put it together. Hopefully, we'll take it even a little bit further. Okay, but everyone with me so far? Yes? Not that we see why it's significant or anything. That's okay, but just you see what the pieces are. We'll put them together, Ezra Hashem, not to worry. Yes? Okay, what I'm saying is that in terms of the presentation of Shabbos, right? So here in Shmot Lamed Aleph, we have the Lishmor and Lasot. Here in Dvarim Hey, we have Lishmor and Lasot. Okay? In Dvarim Hey, we have a historical event that's connected to, which is Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And here in Dvarim Hey, in Shmot Lamed Aleph, parallel to that, we have a historical event that's connected to, which is Matan Torah. Okay? You'll see where that all fits in, Be'ezrat Hashem, in not a long time. Okay, side two. We're going to come back to side one, but let's look at side two. Side two. One of the most amazing things about the first segment, let's say the first dozen or so chapters of Sefer Shmot, is that one of the most, we always say that, that in elementary school we learn through Chumash, and then we grow up a little bit, and we discover, as we actually learn Chumash ourselves inside, we discover that there are all kinds of things that are actually in the Torah that we never knew were there, right? The entire chapters that somehow got in there since third grade. And then at the same time, there are all these things that we're absolutely certain are there, and they're not in the Pesukim at all, right? It's it's an eye-opening experience. It's really fascinating. And give countless examples of this phenomenon. But one of the things that we would really think, that I'm sure we walk out of, our early youth thinking, for sure, it must be like one of the most dominant things in the whole story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, is the famous scene where Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and demands from Paro, "Let my people go," right? Which, of course, does not appear at all. Not only does it not appear in it, not only is there not one place where Moshe says to Paro to free Bnei Yisrael from Avdut, that is never, ever, ever said, but if anything, the opposite. If anything, Moshe implies that, what is he asking for?
3 days.
Right? To go 3 days journey into the desert and to have this holiday, and we're going to bring Karbanot, and there's a great detailed description of this plan which is presented to Paro, and this is the demand. And it's not just that Moshe says it, Hashem tells Moshe to say this to Paro. It's said very clearly again and again and again. And it's not, and so I'm not asking the kasha of how could Moshe lie, and is it trickery or not, which Mefarshim deal with a little bit. Nah, it doesn't bother me. That's not my question. The question is, Moshe doesn't pull punches. And Hashem tells Moshe very clearly, and this is Hashem's plan. Hashem tells Moshe from the very, very first day, Paro is not going to let Bnei Israel go based on soft talk and diplomacy and anything, right? It's going to take all the makot, it's going to take all the way through makot b'chorot, and Paro's not going to let him go. It's going to take the whole process. So why is it that Moshe says many harsh things to Paro? Moshe doesn't hesitate to tell Paro like it is. I'm not saying something that he's in respect for Malchus one, but he tells him what he needs to hear. And he makes, and why is the point not made? And Moshe doesn't say Bichlal. The whole Moshe doesn't, that's not the plan. And so much space is devoted in Sefer Shmod to this fictitious plan, ostensibly. To this fake plan of going to the desert 3 days. And what if Paro would have said yes? Then what? Then what would have happened?
You know, story.
Would have ruined everything, right? The movie would have been, forget it.
I didn't see the movie. Bam, whatever it is. Question is, it's so strange, right? So strange. We have so much space devoted to this whole fake out, which we don't understand what purpose it serves, and the real plan is not mentioned at all. The real demand, right? It's all this about l'man teda, you know, kiesho kimikar, all these things that ain kashem elkeinu, all these different things that Par is supposed to know. But let my people go. Bnei Yisrael have to go free. This is not in the. It's not in the text. It's not there at all. It's not there. It's not just not. Well, oops, we've got. You know, it's not there. The opposite is implied very strongly. And even if we'll rationalize and explain why it's okay that you know, but still, the fact of the matter is that the whole point, Ikar Chaser Min HaSefer, right? The main point is not in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's one of the most glaring questions in those first dozen or so chapters, right? Isn't that one of the most glaring questions in Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is that? How could that be? Doesn't make any sense. Okay, so second question. Directly related to that is the question of why in Perek Mem Zayin we have this whole Perek Mem Zayin Breishit, we have this whole long narrative about how Yosef negotiates with the Egyptians during the Ra'av, and it describes in Pasuk Chaf, Vayiken Yosef called Mat Mitzrayim leParo, Ki Machru Mitzrayim Ish Tzadeu, Ki Chazak Aleihem HaRa'av, Vatiya Aretz leParo, Vet Am Hevir Oto LeArim, Mikseik Bu Mitzrayim VaKatzehu, Rakat Mata Kohanim Lo Kana, Ki Chok LeKohanim HaParo, Vachlu Et Chukam HaShanatan LeParo, Alkein Lo Machru Et Admatam, and it goes on, this whole long story, for many, many psukim, for close to 10 psukim, or actually I think a full 10 psukim, and this whole long story, maybe even longer, depending on where you want to start and end, in Perek Mem Zayin, what is it telling us? Why do we need this? What's the point of it? Very strange. And you can give answers. It's because we need to understand this, we need to understand that, but tachlis, it's very strange. What is the story telling us? So I'm not necessarily going to give you the one thing that's telling us, but I'd like to suggest one thing that it's telling us that I think is very important. And all of this has everything to do, of course, with Gmach Moshiach. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it. Okay. Because why in the world are we talking about Breishit Mem Zayin and Perek Gimel and stuff like that? Okay, so let's take a look. Yeah?
Sorry. Can you just repeat what Breishit Mem Zayin is discussing? I just don't
know. It talks about the whole story of how Yosef negotiates with the Egyptians, with the, you know, man on the street Egyptian, during the famine for the food that he has accumulated, right? And there's a whole negotiation on behalf of Paro of how, you know, first they sell their land and then they become afadim and they're, you know, like sharecroppers and they, you know, the deal that's worked out and the whole thing and how the Kohanim are exempted and, you know, okay? And the end of the day, right, it talks about how all the land belonged to Paro except for the land of the Kohanim, and they all were slaves to Paro. Right? And you could say all kinds of nice things. Okay, so Bnei Yisrael weren't the only slaves in Egypt, and okay, the whole thing. But I think there's something else going on here besides that. Not instead of, but besides that. So let's go back to the beginning. Shmo Perek Gimel, let's look at the plan from the beginning. V'sham'u l'kolecha, says Hashem to Moshe, V'sham'u l'kolecha, Uvata ata v'ziknei Yisrael al melech Mitzrayim v'amartem elav, Adonai Elohei Avriyim nikra aleinu, v'ata nelchana dera shloshi amim v'amidbar, v'nizbachal Adonai Eloheinu. V'ani yadati, I know this is not going to work. I know he's not going to say yes. Nonetheless, tell him this. Which, you know, so much for any thoughts that this is, you know, an attempt at diplomacy. Pasuk Chaf. Shilachti et yadi biketi Mitzrayim b'chol niflo taya sharaseh b'kirbo b'achareichein shalach etchem. So what's going on? So we need to ask ourselves a simple, simple question. If so much space is devoted to this plan, what if it's real? What if this is really what's supposed to happen? What if it's a real offer? And if that's the case, we have to ask ourselves a follow-up question, which is, if Moshe is to ask Paro for permission to go Derech Shloshet Yamim Bamidbar, what is Derech Shloshet Yamim Bamidbar? So, I gave it to him on a silver platter, okay, even without looking at the Chizkuni or having to remember from elsewhere, right here. Where is Derech Shloshet Yamim Bamidbar in one word? Where is it? Where is it? What place? Where is there a Shloshet Yamim Bamidbar? What? One word. Where is it? Okay, let's read. Vayis'u Moshe Perek Ted Vav Mishmod. Vayis'u Moshe, I'm sorry, Vayasam Moshe et Yisrael Miyam Suf. Vayitz'u al Midbar Shur. Vayilchu Shloshet Yamim Bamidbar Velo Matz'u Mayim. Vayavo Marata Velo Yachlu Lishtot Mayim Mimara kimarim he malkein karash mamara. Vayilonu kol vayilonu ha'am al Moshe lemor manishta. Vayitzak el Adonai ve'areu Adonai eitz ve'ashlech ha'amayim ve'im teku ha'amayim. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisav. So I ask you again, where is Derech Shlosh Yamim Bamidbar? Mara. Okay, it's Mara, right? You've all heard of Mara, yes? Very important place. There's a machlok between Rashi and the Ramban, what Mara is all about, what this last phrase of Sham Sam Lochok Mishpat V'Sham Nisahu, despite my being a big fan of the Ramban, I'm going to work with Rashi, which I think is closer to Pshat here, at IT. In any case, Sham Sam Lochok Mishpat V'Sham Nisahu. What happens is, and if you look at the continuation, and I actually would like to read the continuation, even though it's not on the page, but give me one moment. I want to read the next couple of psukim for a moment. Please listen carefully to the continuation because it's actually relevant. In Perek Ted Vav, so it continues like this. There you go. Okay. Next pasuk. Vayomer im shamot tishma l'kol Adonai Elohecha. Vayashar beinav taseh vazantel mitzvotav v'shmarta kol chukav kol machala shesamt mitzrayim lasim alecha ki ani Adonai rofecha. Okay, what we have at Mara is really the beginning of the process of what? Matan Torah, right? Matan Torah really begins at Mara. Mara is the beginning of the process of Kabbalah Torah. Beginning of the process of Kabbalah Torah. The Brit of the Torah, Im Shamo Tishma, because Malka, right? If you listen, if you don't listen, to mitzvah, etc. Sham Sam Lachok Mishpat Visham Misao, it's the beginning. And in fact, if you look closely, from Perek Ted Vav, going, certainly I won't go further than this for the moment because it's not necessary, but it really goes much further than this. But through Yitro, through the whole section of Kabbalah Torah, every piece of Shmot from Ted Vav through Chaf, and actually beyond that, but for our purposes, through Matan Torah, every event has an element of Nisayon, right? This is the key word that runs throughout this whole section. Okay? Think about each and every section. This is true of each and every section of from Ted Vav through Chaf at the very least. Say through Chaf. It connects, right, all the way from Mara, Sham Sam Locham Chok Mishpat V'Sham Misal, all the way through Matan Torah. The Vavur Nasot Etchem Ba'alokim, it says by Matan Torah, Kabbalah Torah in Parsha Yitro. In any case, the point is, this is part of a chain. The beginning of Matan Torah, of Kabbalah Torah, is Mara. And now we can begin to understand, what is going on here in terms of this plan. Listen very carefully. It's a very, very key point. It's a very essential point in terms of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Pesach and so many other things. Perhaps discuss at greater depth in other occasions later on in the year. But for the moment, just very quickly, what was the plan? What would happen if Paro would agree? So if Paro would have agreed, the following would have happened. Bnei Yisrael would have gone 3 days' journey into the desert to Mara as the Avadim of Paro. We've gone for those 3 days into the desert as the Avadim of Paro, as Paro's slaves, with his consent and permission, because after all, he was our Adon, he was our master. And we ask Paro, this is what is asked or demanded of Paro, is give us permission, give us license to go tomorrow. And to do what? And if you look at every single thing that it says in the plan, Nachog, Nizbacha, Navod, every one of those terms is used either at Mara or at Har Sinai, right? I'm not going to go through them one by one, but every one of them appears in the actual fulfillment. It's talking about the process of Kabbalat HaTorah that begins at Mara and culminates at Sinai. Okay? If Paro would have consented, if Paro would have agreed, we would have gone with Paro's permission, without makot and without arm twisting and without violence. We've gone with Paro's permission to accept the Torah, to receive the Torah. We've gone to Mara and begun the process of Kabbalat HaTorah. And once we accept the Torah, right, which begins at Mara and culminates at Sinai, once we did that, then what happens? Then what happens? What happens after we receive the Torah? Before we get to the point of going back and all about, but what happens when we receive the Torah? We become beautiful. We become Avdei Hashem, right? And that's, we say that to Paro. We say it explicitly that we're going la'avod, from the word eved. We're going to become avadim of Hashem. Tavdun, Hashem says to Moshe at Har Sinai at the snare, right? That this is the oath that later you'll come back here and ta'avdun et Elokim al ha'arazeh. We come Avdei Hashem here. We all know there's Gemara and Kedushin about Ozen Sheshaman, so on and so forth. We come Avdei Hashem. And if we're Avdei Hashem, what does that mean? If we're Avdei Hashem, then we're not what?
Avdei
Paro. Not Avdei Paro anymore. Not Avdei Paro. So we have that's stage one of understanding. Let's go a step further. So about 30 years ago, I left home, got on an airplane for my year in Israel. Go to yeshiva and get to Karen Biavna. In those days, there were all two yeshiva to go to. And it wasn't a tremendously big decision. Anyhow, no such thing as Israel guidance, no such thing as, you know, none of the stuff existed, no recruitment. Anyhow, tour, get off the plane, first time I'm in Israel, get off the plane, go straight to yeshiva, get to yeshiva, very jet lagged, very homesick, very totally, you know, like out of things. And that lasted for 24 hours. After that, everything was fine. But okay, first 24 hours were crazy. I get to yeshiva, and the first thing I discover is that there's a policy that no one leaves yeshiva for all of Elul. And the second thing I discover is that Elul is somehow 6 weeks long. Now, both of these came as a shock to my system, because I didn't understand. I had not been to the Kotel yet. I hadn't been to Yerushalayim yet. I went straight from the airport to Karen Biavna, which is, you know, middle of no place. And, you know, the closest thing to civilization is the kibbutz. You know, anyhow, so I'm going to be there for 6 weeks. I'm not going to, you know. After 3 weeks, and slowly I found out that there's this back road. Okay, there's a back road that everyone takes to leave for Shabbos. But I have to tell you, people who know me well know I'm not a back row type of person. It's not in my personality. I sneak out the back road and it's not for me. So I couldn't do that. But on the other hand, I couldn't see staying for 6 weeks and not leaving yeshiva at all. I loved in yeshiva. It's not that I love in yeshiva. But, you know, there are other things besides yeshiva. And there are things that, you know, and I try to, you know. Okay, anyhow. So I had a plan. My plan was, I went to the Mashgiach, and I really didn't feel like I wasn't going to sneak out. On the other hand, I wasn't going to go to the Mashgiach. The plan, you had to go to the Mashgiach and ask permission. I wasn't going to ask permission. I figured, here I am. I already went to Israel late and everything. I was already like, 19, 20 years old. And here I was halfway around the world from home. I'm going to ask permission to go away for Shabbos. This is ridiculous. But I had a plan. I wasn't going to sneak out. I went to Mashgiach and I told him that I was leaving for Shabbos. Okay, I informed him that I was leaving for Shabbos. See, the greatness of that was that I didn't sneak out. On the other hand, I wasn't going to ask him if I could leave for Shabbos because I didn't really think it was his place to tell me whether or not I could leave for Shabbos. I mean, he was a stranger. He doesn't even know me. He's going to tell me whether or not I can leave for Shabbos. It's ridiculous. I'm here on my own and away from me. I'm just going to go. But I'm not going to sneak out. I'm going to tell him that I'm leaving. So I told him I was leaving. So it worked out great for both of us because I told him that I was leaving, so I was happy. And he told me that he would think about it, so he was happy. And he thought about it, and I went, and, you know, everything worked out great. Okay. There's a sequel to the story, but for another time. In any case, or maybe if we have time, I'll tell you the sequel at the very end because it's actually an interesting sequel. But okay, the kitzur, doesn't matter. What happened was that I left. Now, that's the pshat in the pesukim here. Right? You understand? Very, very important. Why doesn't it say that Moshe goes to Paro and say, and ask or demand or tell, you know, why doesn't Moshe say to Paro, just like he says, let us go, Der Shloshim in Bamidbar, let us go and, you know, not return. Why does he say, let us be free? And the answer is very simple. What's the answer? It's none of Paro's business. And we want to make that very clear. Right? It's not Paro's issue to tell us whether or not we come back after that. Why is it not Paro's issue after we go to Mara and after we go to Sinai? It's not Paro's place. We don't want to ask Paro. Why don't we want to ask Paro? He's not the Adon anymore. We want to be very clear that once we come to Sinai, we're Avdei Hashem, and if we're Avdei Hashem, we're not Avdei Paro. Period. We're not asking Paro. Until we get to Mara, that we ask Paro. Because that, we're Paro's Avadim. But once we get to Mara, and we initiate the process of Kabbalat HaTorah, there's nothing to discuss. We're B'nai Chorin. Eimcha B'nai Chorin El Mishos B'Torah. And this is part of where we see us from. We're Avdei Hashem, we're not Avdei Paro. The two are mutually exclusive. And that's why the Torah only talks about those first Derech Shloshei Amim. It only talks about going and B'nisbacha L'Hashem Elokeinu, B'navoi L'Hashem Elokeinu. Because once we do that, once we receive the Torah, there's nothing to discuss. And now we can understand beautifully what the point of Bereishit Perek Mem Zayin is. Why we need to know what it says in Bereishit Perek Mem Zayin. It's so important. Listen very carefully. The people who stood at Har Sinai, the Jewish people who stood at Har Sinai, every person who stood at Har Sinai grew up where? Where'd they grow up? Mitzrayim. All of us standing at Har Sinai, we grew up in Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Torah wants us who are reading this thousands of years later to understand what the people who stood at Har Sinai understood in their bones. In their insides, they understood in their kishkas, they understood viscerally that when Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, "Vatem tiyuli mamlechet koanim v'goy kadosh," when Bnei Yisrael heard that by accepting the Torah they would become a mamlechet koanim, what did every person standing at Har Sinai understand by mamlechet koanim? And there are many levels of meaning to it. I'm not saying it has only one meaning. It has many. But what's one of the implications of being Mamlecha Kohanim? If we're Kohanim, what does it mean that we're not what?
Avadim.
We're not Avadim. Because everyone in Mitzrayim is an Ebed to Paro, except for whom? Rasha Kohanim, right? The exception is the Kohanim. And if we're told that you, by accepting the Torah, you become Mamlecha Kohanim, it means that by accepting the Torah, you're not Avdei Paro. And that's what everyone in Bnei Yisrael understood. And the way we understand is through Reshit Mem Zayin. But the way they understood is, of course, because they managed this was part of their life. You understand what I'm saying? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we got it so far? Okay. Let's go just one step further. We now go back to side one. In Shmot Perek Chaf, the emphasis, I'm not saying that this is all it says. I know it says more than this. But the emphasis, the focus in Shmot Perek Chaf, in Parashat Yitro, is Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. To be aware, to have in mind, to mention, to talk about, to declare that Shabbos is Shabbos, that Shabbos is Yom Kadosh, that Zecher Lemaaseh Bereishit. This is the focus. This is the aspect that's emphasized. I'm not saying it's all that's mentioned. It's the part that's emphasized in Shmot Perek Chaf, in Yitro. But in Dvarim Perek Hei, what aspect is emphasized? The Shmira, the Asiya, the observance of Shabbos. As long as I'm aware, as long as I have a cognizance of Maaseh Bereishit, whether free or slave, whether a person is an Eved or a Ben Chorin, with or without Yitziat Mitzrayim, a person is an Eved Knani, whatever it is, a person can be involved in Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho. Anybody can be involved in Zachorat, a person can be aware that Shabbos is special, that it's holy, that it commemorates Maaseh Bereishit. That's available to everyone. But because we're B'nai Chorin, because we're not Avadim, it affords the opportunity not just to be aware and to remember and to mention, but to do more than that. What more does it allow us to do that we couldn't do if we're Avadim? Shamor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho Kasher Tzivchad Me'elhecha. And therefore, Shesh Yamim Tavod Vasita Kol Melachtecha V'Yom Hashvi Shabbat L'Adonai Elhecha Lo Taseh Kol Melacha Atal Bincha V'Tcha V'Tcha V'Matecha V'Shorcha V'Chamorcha V'Chol V'Matecha V'Gercha V'Sharecha L'Man Yanucha V'Tcha V'Matcha Kamocha. And the Torah needs to explain here why even an Eved is included here, because ostensibly an Eved is not it's not relevant. So we have to be told L'Man Yanucha V'Tcha V'Matcha Kamocha. It's an extension of our chayot, etc. V'Zacharta Ki Eved Hayita. And so on and so forth. Vayutiacha Hashem Elokecha Misham. Al Kain Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha La'asot Et Yom HaShabbat. Right? The Asiya, the Shmira. This is because we are B'nei Chorin, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We're not Avadim. And therefore, if we take a look at Shmot Lamed Aleph, parallel to the idea of being taken out of Avdut in Mitzrayim and not being an Eved to power anymore in Mitzrayim because of Yitziat Mitzrayim, we're told what? What are we told right after Shamor at Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho and Lasot et HaShabbat? Vayitein al Moshe k'chalotol l'daber ito b'har Sinai shnei luchot ha'idut luchot even k'tuvim be'etzba Elohim. Right, the idea of Matan Torah, that's the parallel to Yitziat Mitzrayim, because Yitziat Mitzrayim and Matan Torah together form two stages and two levels, even after we had Yitziat Mitzrayim and the Makkah, because Paro didn't agree, but we have the first stage of Chayrut of the Yitziat Mitzrayim, Makkot, Kriyat Yamsuf, etc., and the second stage of Matan Torah. And together they form the basis for our being Avdei Hashem and not being Avdei Paro. If we go back to Yismach Moshe Matnat Choko. Go back to Yismach Moshe Matnat Choko. Very, very top. So we see something very interesting. Yismach Moshe Matnat Choko, ki Eben Ne'eman Karatalo, Kalil Tif'er Broshon Atat Vamdol Fanechal Har Sinai, Ushnei Luchot Avadim, Horib Biyado, V'chatu Behem Shmirat Shabbat, V'chatu V'chatu B'Torotecha, V'shamru B'nei Yisrael T'Shabbat, L'Sot T'Shabbat L'Dorotam B'rit Olam, and so on and so forth. In other words, what are the three elements that go together? What are the three concepts that go together? If we come back to the original Yismach Moshe, the idea of Shmirat Shabbat, specifically Shmirat Shabbat, right? Now, which is associated with Asiya. Number two, the idea of Kabbalat HaTorah, of Matan Torah. And number three, the idea of being Eved Hashem and the implication of being Eved Paro, right? This is the implication of Matan Torah, is the idea of our being Avdei Hashem. If you look in the continuation, which we're not going to learn now, but just I'm going to fast forward just for a second, the next sentence, V'lo nitato Hashem Elokeinu goyer ratzot, V'lo nichalto malkeinu lo dei tzilim. Right? The contrast between those who are Avdei Hashem and therefore have the Shabbos and those who are of Dei Psilim, and therefore do not have the Shabbos. That's obviously related, furthers this the relevance of this idea of obviously in the context of the Shemirat Shabbat that we're discussing over here. But in any case, I think that this is the this is why, even though this section is based on what we have in Shmot Lamed Aleph, and therefore we have those first two components, there's an additional component of Ki Evan Ne'aman Karat Lo, which is directly connected to the Vamdo Fanecha HaSinai, because that too is part of the explanation for why, as Bnei Chorin, we have this aspect of Shmirat Shabbat above and beyond that of Sechirah, which is mentioned in passing as we go on, but the primary focus here is on the Shmirah. And therefore we bring in also the topic of the Avdut, which is the continuation in Dvarim Perek Hei, which is directly parallel to Shmot Lamed Aleph. Okay, so this is what, you know, I think that this is a perspective on all these different components that we have in the Torah, that this these few little sentences in our tefillah of Yismach Moshe really gives us. These couple lines of Yismach Moshe put together for us so many different components that are innately related, but that we have to see the relationship between. All of this is put together for us by this beautiful, beautiful piyut that we have of Yismach Moshe Manach Chokol. So this is a little bit of Perush on those couple of sentences in Yismach Moshe. Everything here is really commentary on that. Okay, so stop.
Thank you.